It's the Ryan Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Coming up, should the tax code soak the childless and give bigger breaks to taxpayers with kids? As Raihan Salam proposes on Slate, we'll talk to him. But first, with me right now to answer questions about the New York State budget that passed this week with lots of big items in it and lots of big items left out of it is Governor Cuomo's right-hand man, his second in command in many ways, Larry Schwartz, secretary to the governor. Mr. Schwartz, thanks a lot for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
And listeners, questions about the budget, post them to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. So pre-K and charter schools both came out winners in this budget. I think our listeners know that by now. But it's unclear to me, and I've seen conflicting reports, as to whether Mayor de Blasio's desire for after-school programs for all middle school students got fully funded. Are you and the governor saying it did?
There is money in the budget to fund after-school programs. But, Brian, I would also say to you that public school kids were winners in the governor's budget that he and the legislature worked on. New York City's public schools are going to get $8.7 billion in school aid in this coming school year, and that's a $430 million year-to-year increase. And that, in addition to the $300 million in pre-K funding. So there's also money set aside for after-school programs. So this is a huge – this budget that the governor and the legislature passed is a huge win for New York City and New York City school kids.
The mayor apparently believes that after school for all middle school students is about co-equal in terms of its power to reduce inequality in the long run, equal to pre-K. So is it fully funded?
There is adequate money in the budget to fund the mayor's after school program.
How much of that is supposed to come from casino revenues?
Well, again, you know, a big chunk of that will come from the casino revenue, but there's also an increase in the city's foundation aid that also can be used to fund after-school programs if the mayor chooses to spend the money that way. But the mayor's request is in the budget, and we look forward to working with him to implement his programs through the funding that's put in the budget.
One more thing about that. If the money or some of the money is supposed to come from casinos that haven't even been opened yet under the new expansion of casinos allowed by last year's vote, and we hear from New Jersey now that the new revenues from new casinos there are coming in much lower than expected, what becomes of after school if that happens in New York? And are you downgrading your expectations for casino revenue for New York based at all on what's happening now in New Jersey?
Well, first of all, we've gotten already licensed money in for the casinos. So there's money there to fund New York City's after-school program. Look, Brian, I think people shouldn't be negative. I think people should be positive with this budget. Again, New York City got a $430 million increase in school aid, $300 million in pre-K, and money for after-school. So if some people want to, you know, take the attitude that the glass is half empty, I'd rather take the attitude and that the glass is half full. Governor Cuomo has delivered for New York City school kids, and he's delivered for school kids throughout the state, not just in increases in school aid and increases in pre-K and after school, but through Common Core reforms and other things that he's done that are in the best interest of every school-age kid here in the state of New York.
Let me ask you a Common Core question. Of course, the statewide English tests are being given today. If I have it right, the governor was for protecting students from having these harder tests count toward their records until 2018 while the curriculum gradually gets matched to the standards. But he wanted teachers evaluated on their student test scores right away. But now maybe he's backing away from that, what some people consider double standard. Can you clarify?
Look, the governor was very concerned. The Board of Regents did a terrible job of rolling out Common Core. And as everyone knows, these new standards have been put in place by 45 states here in the country. And his biggest concern and problem was the terrible job in the way the Board of Regents rolled this out, explained it. And what he wanted to do is address the fear and anxiety that parents and students had. And through the commission that he created and the reforms that they recommended, they all got put in the budget. And the focus is going to be on less testing in the classroom, less time in the classroom spent on test prep, and also protecting student privacy in this thing. One of the governor's legacies since he's been in office is putting together the teacher eval system, in which parents can know which teachers are doing well and which teachers are struggling. This is to help teachers. It's not to hurt teachers. One of the frustrating things is people think, teacher eval is a bad thing. No, teacher eval happens to be a good thing because we want teachers to excel in the classroom. That only benefits our kids in the classroom. The better these teachers are, the better our kids are going to learn. And if a teacher's struggling and wants help, through the teacher evaluation process, we're going to be able to provide that help. That a teacher that is not interested in doing a good job in the classroom, then they shouldn't be teachers any longer. And that's what teacher eval's about.
But is the governor backing away from using the Common Core-based standardized tests to evaluate teachers right away?
The governor is committed to the teacher eval system and the teacher eval process. But the governor has also opened ways to improve things. And if there's a way to improve the teacher evaluation process in a fair an objective way, then he's open to any suggestions that people have.
And I wonder if you could clarify for our listeners, especially in education, because there's been some confusion about that clause in the budget that seemed to limit the amount of test prep that teachers can actually do in a given school year. We were parsing this language, and it seemed so specific that it might have been only in reference to the actual time the kids are sitting there taking practice tests, which wouldn't really change anything. Do you think that clause really changes the amount of test prep or teaching to the test in a broad way that's going to get done in New York State public schools?
Well, I don't know the specifics of the language, Brian, other than to say to you that too much time is spent in the classroom preparing kids for tests and not enough time learning their subjects. And so this thing puts a limitation on the amount of time students spend in the classroom getting ready for tests. We got rid of the bubble test, the kindergarten through second grade tests.
Right.
Those are gone. And the other thing that's in these reforms is test transparency. Kids are given too many tests in the classroom. And what we want parents to know and learn is what tests are mandated on a state level, what tests are mandated by the federal government, and what tests are discretionary. A lot of school districts have the discretion of putting together various tests, and we want parents to see what all these tests are and who the decision maker is behind those tests and whether those tests are mandatory or discretionary, because we got to reduce the amount of testing that our kids are being forced to take these days.
Larry Schwartz, Secretary to Governor Cuomo, the governor's right-hand man, number two in command in many ways, with us here on WNYC. The loudest opposition to the budget seems to be coming from the left. For example, the Working Families Party, which calls it a Wall Street budget for the tax breaks it gives Wall Street firms and other big banks, they say. Can you explain that tax break?
I mean, comments like that, Brian, to me are very silly and they're short-sighted. I mean, if you look at the governor's record, he cut the income tax rate for middle-class and working-class families and individuals in this state. We have the lowest income tax rate for middle and working-class people here in over 60 years in New York State. Last year, we passed a law to provide a $350 rebate to working and middle-class families that have children. The property tax freeze addresses middle and working-class people. The New York City renters credit and the circuit breaker that we passed in this budget address low-income and working-class families. But the other thing what we have to do here is we have to grow our economy and we have to grow jobs. And so included in here are cuts that will attract new businesses and have existing businesses grow and add jobs. And when you grow and you add jobs, it benefits everybody. It means additional revenue into the budget, and that revenue gets to be used to spend on programs that help the poor, that help the homeless, that help the working class.
But some of those breaks are specifically for major banks?
They are reforms to the tax code that corporations and businesses have been asking for decades. And it's a way to change the optics that New York State is a place that welcomes businesses, not drive businesses out. Without a strong economy, you cannot have a strong budget. And without a strong budget, you can't fund the programs that benefit the poor and the working class and the middle class here.
So is this
whether
classic
it's homeless housing or whether it's, you know, feeding the hungry or whether it's providing money for education and on and on and on.
So is that classic trickle down in the sense that tax breaks on the wealthy today will produce more state revenue in the long run because it will produce more growth? That's classic Reaganomics, right?
It's not classic Reaganomics. The governor, since he's been in office, has created over 400,000 private sector jobs. We have more jobs in the state of New York than ever in the history of this state, Brian. We're growing the economy. Unemployment is down by over 2 percentage points since the governor has taken office. And so part of the equation is not just to spend money, but it's to generate revenue. It is to create jobs. It is to make our economy grow. And many of these jobs are jobs for the working poor, the middle class. It's to keep our industries here. And so when you put together a budget and you provide incentives and provide tax relief, we're providing it to middle-class homeowners and families, working-class families, as well as businesses, so that our economy not only remains strong today, but it gets stronger in going into the future.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio. Brian Lehrer with Larry Schwartz, secretary, right-hand man to Governor Cuomo. Can you tell us what happened to the speeding cameras Mayor de Blasio and Long Island communities wanted? The city alone wants to increase the number of speed cameras from 20 to 140 as part of the Vision Zero war on traffic deaths. But from what I read, the governor forced at least a delay on the bill. What actually happened with that?
Well, first of all, Brian, that is false. And anybody who claims that doesn't know what they're talking about. The governor supports providing speed cameras to New York City. He had speed cameras in his budget for Nassau and Suffolk County because the two county executives came to him and asked that that be included in his budget. We hadn't heard from New York City. We found out, the day before the budget was to be completed, that New York City wanted to be included, and we were happy to do that. The other problem is there was a dispute between the Senate and the Assembly regarding speed cameras in Nassau County. So because we needed to get the budget printed, we've all agreed that in the month of April, both houses will pass a speed camera bill for New York City, Nassau, and Suffolk County. And quite frankly, if there's anybody else that wants to be included, we're happy to include them. And we'll get a bill passed before the end of April, and the governor will sign it because he supports speed cameras for New York City, Nassau, and Suffolk counties.
All right. Thanks for clarifying that. And the governor is disbanding the Moreland Commission on Public Corruption, even though very little of the ethics reform that the governor was backing got through. And Common Cause New York and other critics from the good government groups are asking, why surrender the watchful eye of the Moreland Commission if the legislature refused to limit itself better on ethics and campaign finance rules?
You know, again, Brian, I don't know where these critics come from. This is a great budget, and we're not going to be apologetic for the budget that passed. That's great for all New Yorkers, great for school kids, great for taxpayers, great for businesses. This was a bipartisan budget. We get things done in New York, unlike in Washington. And with the Moreland Commission, the governor got the Public Trust Act passed, okay? And that's why he created the Moreland Commission, because the legislature was unwilling last year to do ethics reform. And through the Moreland Commission, we got a new tougher bribery statute. We got new crimes for corrupting the government put in place. Public officials who are convicted of a felony or elected officials will be debarred from holding public office for life. Vendors, contractors, people that do business who defraud the government will be barred for life from doing business with the government. We got independent enforcement at the Board of Elections. We got increased disclosure of outside income by elected officials. And we got, for the first time in history, the Senate to agree to use public funds, you know, at least in a controller's demo project. For 30 years, there's been an ongoing effort to get the Senate to agree to public campaign financing in terms of using public funds. The governor was able to convince the Senate to go along as a first step to use unclaimed funds, which are public funds, in a controller's demo project, and to evaluate how well it works, and then to go from there.
Since controller...
The same people that are criticizing it are the same people for the last 30 years that haven't been able to get anything accomplished, Brian. And then when something gets accomplished, they sit there on the sidelines, not on the field, on the sidelines, criticizing the play calling. And I think that's just disingenuous and unfair in terms of how great this budget is for New Yorkers.
Tell me how you'll be able to use the controller's race as an experiment in public financing, and presumably the governor would make the case for more afterwards. Since Controller DiNapoli is not expected to have meaningful opposition, and he's already raised more than the caps that would be in effect through public financing.
We're going to see how it plays out. Controller DiNapoli, he's a very good controller, has been a big supporter of public campaign financing, and in the past has supported legislation using his office as a demonstration project. And so that's what we passed. And it'll be up to him to decide whether to opt into the public campaign financing system and his opponent to opt in.
Are you urging him to opt in?
I'm not. I give advice to the governor of the state of New York.
Is the governor urging him to opt in?
And not to anybody else unless they come and ask me for it.
One more thing, and then I'll give you an open mic to wrap it up. Governor Christie is embroiled in his George Washington Bridge Port Authority scandal, as you know, and he said last week that he's intrigued by the idea of disbanding the Port Authority as a bi-state agency. Is Governor Cuomo open to that?
Brian, as you know, back when the governor gave his state address in January, he announced that he was going to oversee and take control of New York's airports, JFK, LaGuardia, Stewart Airport. He was unhappy with the lack of progress made at these great airports. He wants to see them modernized. He wants to see serious and significant improvements in the amenities for the passengers that use these airports. These are international destination airports. They generate millions in revenue, and it will create thousands of jobs. And he's just been totally dissatisfied with the lack of progress by the Port Authority when it comes to modernizing our great airport. So, he went and reached out to Governor Christie, told him he wanted to do this. Governor Christie was supportive of it.
So really,
and
when
the governor's open, and if there's other things that we should be doing or could be doing to improve the way the Port Authority operates for New Yorkers, the governor is open to doing that. I think there's a lot of complex legal and bond covenant issues that have to be researched and thought through. So I don't think you can just say, yeah, we're going to do this overnight. I think it's going to take a lot of research and some effort to look at how we can restructure and reorganize the Port Authority that will benefit New Yorkers in a bigger and better way than it does today.
So really, Christie, when he was saying he's intrigued by some of the ideas out there, you think he was reacting to what Governor Cuomo had originally put out, deaggregating the airports, for example?
I don't want to speak for Governor Christie. I know that Governor Cuomo is always looking to do things better for New Yorkers. We are moving on a path of progress under Governor Cuomo. New York State has gotten better under his leadership. New York State will continue to get better. New Yorkers are winners, and they've been working together. We know how to overcome. Just look at what happened with Sandy. We know how to overcome. We've had many crises in this state. New Yorkers are resilient. They're tough. They're compassionate. They're there for each other. And through the governor's leadership, working with the people of the state of New York, New York is on a path of progress and a better future.
I guess the harder part would be to have New York in charge of the George Washington Bridge and the tunnels until halfway across the river, and then New Jersey in charge of the rest.
Well, if there's a way to figure it out. But again, Brian, I just want to say the governor's budget.
And anything you want to say out the door, anything you want to say. Open mic.
The governor's budget, the 14-15 budget, working in a bipartisan fashion with the Senate and the Assembly, is a big victory and a big win for New Yorkers. If you have kids in public school or in a charter school, it is a big win for them because you've got historic increases in education aid and money for preschool handicap education statewide, $340 million. There's tax breaks for homeowners here in New York State, for renters here in New York State as well. And there's an opportunity for us to continue to make the progress that the governor's made by going from over 400,000 jobs created already over his 4 years to going out there and creating tens of thousands of new jobs upstate and as well as downstate. So this is a big win. You know, the governor has continued to clean up Albany, put the confidence back in New York State government. He's been a leader for the people, and he's going to continue to lead and continue to put New York State on the forward path of progress that he started when he took office in 2011.
Larry Schwartz, Secretary to Governor Cuomo. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Take care, Brian. Thank you for having me today.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up, should the tax code soak the childless and give bigger breaks to taxpayers with kids? Raihan Salam wrote this up for Slate. It's getting thousands of comments online, and we will hear his argument and take your calls in just a minute.